The United States House and Senate last night overwhelmingly approved military action against those responsible for Tuesday's terrorist attacks in New York City and Washington, D.C. The resolution authorizes the president to, quote, use all necessary and appropriate force against the nations, organizations, or persons behind the attacks. Combat aircraft are patrolling the skies over the United States. President Bush yesterday authorized the mobilization of up to 50,000 reservists to support that military effort. Joining us now is NPR's Tom Gelton. Tom, thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Scott.
You add these signs together, it looks like a nation about to go to war.
It's a scary list, isn't it, Scott? But I think it's important to distinguish between defensive and offensive operations. Mm-hmm. Remember that the continental United States came under attack this week for the first time since 1812. And quite frankly, Scott, the agencies of the U.S. government aren't 100% certain it's over. So they have put the nation's defenses on high alert. That's why you have these jet fighters patrolling the skies. That's why you see Coast Guard cutters in the rivers around major U.S. cities. Mm-hmm. And that's why you had this big mobilization of military reservists yesterday. Many of them will be mobilized for this what's called homeland defense, something that we don't really think about that much in the United States. But these moves are not necessarily a prelude to offensive military action. In fact, one little reassuring point, the state of alert and the posturing of the U.S. military has actually dropped a notch since Tuesday.
How do we read the significance of this at the same time? We saw a report yesterday that the U.S. military is chartering a tanker to deliver diesel fuel to Diego Garcia. It's U.S. Air Force Base in the Indian Ocean. That is, traditionally, a major B-52 military base. Those are big bombers. Is that a sign that they are being readied for use somewhere?
Well, the Diego Garcia base is very conveniently situated in the Indian Ocean, not far from Afghanistan, which is, at this point, has to be considered the most likely target. Of a military action. In fact, the administration has made very clear that it is considering a whole range of military options. And while at the Pentagon, officials are under very tight orders not to discuss operational details, that kind of point, they're quite open that they are making these kinds of preparations. Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz actually referred back to the Gulf War a couple of days ago when he talked about why the Pentagon needed extra money. He said that in the months leading up to the Gulf War, quote, we needed munitions, we needed logistics, we needed fuel, we needed things you don't plan for because you don't plan for that level of operations on a day-to-day basis. So across a wide spectrum, there are certain to be increased operational costs. Now, I think it's telling that he compared the current moment, the current week, to the months leading up to the Gulf War. So you're right. There's clearly consideration of some kind of military action, but we don't know yet what it's going to be.
But of course, the Gulf War, that was a solid, dedicated staging area there in Saudi Arabia. You know, some amphibious assets. There was a defined locality. That's not what a war against terrorism would necessarily entail, is it?
No. In fact, I think it's very important because people are so nervous about so many things, Scott, that Secretary of State Colin Powell made it clear that when we talk about going to war against terrorism, it's not just military action, it's political action, it's diplomatic action, it's economic action. So terrorism, terrorism is not something that you can go after the way that we went after the forces of Saddam Hussein in Iraq in the Gulf War. Mm-hmm. And it would require a much more sustained effort across a much broader spectrum.
Tom, thanks very much.
Sure, Scott.
NPR's Tom Gelton.